Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on God's evaluation of the church in Ephesus. In our last program, we talked about two of the qualifications that Yeshua has in relationship to His role in evaluating the church at Ephesus. Those two qualifications are that He controls the seven stars. He holds the seven stars in His right hand. That shows that He has control of them, meaning that He controls what goes on in the spirit realm. And this is important because you remember that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, it's against wicked spirits in high places. So you remember also the example of when an angel was trying to deliver a message to Daniel, and then an evil angel opposed that angel, and then another good angel had to come along and help the first good angel so that the message could ultimately be delivered to Daniel. That's spiritual warfare, and God sends out His angels to fight battles on our behalf. And the Ephesus church needs to know that God is controlling what goes on in the spirit realm, and that their battles are not against flesh and blood, but it's against wicked spirits in heavenly places. Also, you remember that when Adam and Eve sinned, that cherubim were put around the Garden of Eden to forbid anybody from coming back in to take of the tree of life, because they had taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, perhaps these angels are supposed to convey the message to the Ephesus church that if they remain faithful to God by taking of the tree of life instead of taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they can come back in to the paradise of God. They can come back in to the Garden of Eden. And then the second qualification we saw that Jesus has is that He is standing in the midst of the seven lampstands. And we know that that means that He's in the middle of the church, controlling everything that goes on with the church. And this was also very important because there were people who were infiltrating the Ephesus church and trying to take over and trying to take them away from the one true God. And so He was warning them that if they didn't straighten up and fly right, that their candle would be snuffed out, that no more light would shine through them. So He's warning them about that. And that's why those two qualifications were given to the church in Ephesus in particular. And that's the first element that God uses in His evaluation process, is He talks about the qualifications of Jesus, why He can say to the churches what He's saying. And then the second element is praise. You'll see the same pattern on all of the churches, that there's the qualifications of Jesus, and then the praise that Jesus has for the church, and then the criticism that Jesus has for the church, and then the advice that Jesus has for the church to be able to overcome whatever parts He critiqued, and then a challenge that they should remain faithful and be overcomers so that they can receive a great reward. And so now we come to the second element, which is praise. This is what the Lord is pleased with. And this is what He says about the church in Ephesus. We can find this in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 2. Here it says, "I know your works." This is a key word. I want you to highlight or underline or write on your pad this word, works. "I know your works, and I know your labor." Please highlight or write down that word. "And I know your patience." Please write down, underline, highlight that word. So far we have three words. I know your works, I know your labor, and I know your patience. And then this fourth phrase I want you to write down. "And I know how you cannot bear those who are evil." This phrase, cannot bear, I want you to write that down, underline that. And then the fifth phrase, "And you have tried," please underline that word, tried, "and you have tried those pretending to be apostles and have found them to be liars." Okay, so we see here five things that Jesus is pleased with in relation to the church at Ephesus. And this word works, that has the connotation of doing good deeds that are appreciated, whereas the word labor has the connotation of doing hard work that's draining because it brings criticism and persecution. And then the word patience. Patience has the connotation of doing things with endurance and with assurance. It's endurance with assurance. That's doing things with a sense of purpose and hope, and you just keep at it no matter what the obstacles are. And let's see these in Scripture. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 26, and we'll read verses 6 through 10. This is the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 26 and verses 6 through 10. Here we're going to see the word work and labor and see the difference between the two. Again, I said that the word works has the connotation of doing good deeds that are appreciated. So it seems like this is kind of an easy thing that, yeah, I like to do that because I get a lot of praise for it. Whereas the labor, it has the connotation of doing hard work that's draining because it brings criticism and persecution. And so we see both of them in this passage of Scripture here in Matthew 26, verses 6 through 10. It says, "When Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for a lot of money, and we could have given the money to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said to them, 'Wait a minute now. Why do you trouble this woman?'" Now, this word trouble is the same word as labor. But you see here, they had done a good work, but it was a laborious type of thing because it brought trouble. It brought some criticism and persecution. So this woman had done a good thing by pouring ointment on his head, and yet she got criticized for it. But that's the type of work that is laborious. So that's labor. When Jesus says to the church in Ephesus, "I know your labor," that means that they've been doing good works, but they get criticism for it. It brings trouble upon them because people are criticizing them. And that's what happened with this woman. But now Jesus says, "For she has done a good work." And this word work is the same for work that we saw in Revelation chapter 2 as it pertained to the church in Ephesus. "For she has done a good work." In other words, Jesus is saying, no, this work is not something that she should have been criticized for. This is some work that she should have been shown appreciation for. And the bottom line is this, that we should be doing good work whether people show us appreciation or whether people give us hell for it. It doesn't make a difference. We need to be doing good work. And we need to be exercising patience even toward those people that criticize us. Now we can see this in Romans chapter 5 and verses 2 through 5, because Jesus is saying to the church at Ephesus that he knows their patience. So let's turn over to Romans chapter 5 verses 2 through 5, and we'll see this word patience here. And as I said before, patience has the connotation of endurance with assurance, that you have hope that things will turn out properly. "Through Yeshua, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing God's glory. Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance." And this word endurance is the same Greek word that we find in Revelation chapter 2 verse 2, where it's translated patience. So we can read that again by saying, "Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produces patience," or produces endurance. It gives us the ability to endure with assurance. We are assured of the fact that our endurance will end up with a good result. That's our hope. It's going to end up with a good result. And so we know that patience, or this endurance, produces character, and character produces hope. See how that goes along? I'm going to read that again. Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and our endurance or patience produces character. We learn how to deal with things. And character produces hope. We know how to deal with things, and so we know that in the future things are going to turn out well because we've already overcome these problems, and Jesus Christ promises that he's going to give many, many blessings to those who are overcomers. So we have this hope that things will end up with a good result because we know that God has already gotten us through so many things in the past. He's going to get us through things in the future. Now, this hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God. This is focus on God. Not that, you know, we have all of this work, all this labor, we have this great patience. No, these are gifts from God. So it says, now this hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And then God's love is poured out into our hearts by that Holy Spirit. We know God's love because it comes along with God's Holy Spirit. And when God's Holy Spirit is in us, that means God's love is in us. And so we know, because of God's love, that our hope will not be disappointed, because we know that God is the one who has given us this hope. Again, God says that those who are overcomers will be able to come back into the Garden of Eden and partake of the Tree of Life, to be in the paradise with God and complete union with God throughout eternity as born-again children of God, Spirit-composed, eternal children of God. That is our destiny. That's what we're hoping for. And God is not going to disappoint us, because God has set that before us, and God will make sure that it happens as long as we remain faithful, and God is there to give us all of the help that he can give us so that we can remain faithful. And so this is all of those words summed up. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 2 through 3. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 2 through 3. We're going to see a summary of this phrase, which we saw in Revelation chapter 2 verse 2, where it says, I know your works and your labor and your patience. We're going to see them summarized right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 2 through 3. It says, we give thanks to God for you always, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And so again, God is pleased with the church in Ephesus because they had works of faith, labor of love, and a patience of hope. Those are good things, and those are points that if we are like the Ephesus church, God will also give us that same positive evaluation on these points. In our next program, we'll continue on the next point in Revelation 2 verse 2, which says, I also know how you cannot bear those who are evil. Again, that's for our next program. I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.